Father, as we focus on your word, as we focus on your eternal word, we thank you for your presence. We thank you that you are God with us, that you came to be one of us, Lord Jesus. And that you pour out your spirit that we might be intimately connected with you this day and every day. Amen. If you'd like to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. We've been looking at the context of John the past couple of weeks. We're going to delve a little bit more into that with the first few words of the Gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all humans might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to that light. The true light that gives light to every person was coming into the world. He was in the world, and through the world, though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He comes after me.' He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me." From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. One of the most amazing passages in the New Testament. Often used at Christmas, I suppose it kind of fits in with the Christmas going early this year. One of the most amazing passages in the New Testament. And as we've heard over the past couple of weeks, John really has a message to give. And if we understand the context he was in, we understand that he was trying to shout loud, "Who is Jesus?" against lots of other messages coming at him from the world around him saying that Jesus was other things. And these first few paragraphs of John, they're quite different to the beginnings of the other Gospels. Quite different. What John's doing at the beginning here is almost like the sleeve notes to a book saying, "In this Gospel you will find this person, Jesus. And if you want to know more, read on." In these first few paragraphs, you hear Christ proclaimed as God very clearly from the beginning. We hear John talking about existence and Christ. Jesus as somehow the creator with the Father. Jesus as somehow the light and the life of all the human race, not just Christians, but all the human race. The life. We hear of John the forerunner, John the Baptist, coming as evidence pointing towards Jesus, saying, I'm not the light, he is. And that gives us a little hint about some of the conflict that was around at the time. There were those, such as those within mainstream Judaism, who were saying Jesus might well be a good and worthy man, but he's certainly not God. There's only one God. And John is saying, hang on a minute. And actually, there were even followers of John the Baptist around. We'll hear about that a bit more in the Gospel. Followers of John the Baptist who 90, 100, 150 years after Christ were still following John the Baptist and had missed out on the Messiah. And John was saying, hang on a minute. John said he wasn't the light. John said Jesus was the light. You've missed something here. People were also trying to figure out, well, who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus? How can he be man and yet God, and God and yet man? And there were people around called Docetists who said, okay, if we accept that Jesus is God, then that means he can't be man. So maybe he just seemed like a man. Maybe he walked and talked and looked like a man, but God can't be man, so we're going to say he wasn't a man. John is saying, hang on a minute. The whole point to all of this is that God, your creator, God, the source of all existence, the ground of all being, the relational God who wants to restore the relationship with you, his creation, the only way he can make a way is to choose to come into his creation that he loves and choose to become one of us. Jesus is fully God there at the beginning and fully human, the Word made flesh. So can you see there are all these other messages flying around that John was wanting to say right up front on the sleeve notes of his book? Jesus is the creator along with the Father. Jesus is the light of every human being, not just those that think they've got the light. Jesus is fully God and fully man, not just one or the other. There's early Trinitarian thought here, putting it in theological terms. And John is basically saying, if you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. No one has ever fully seen God. There is more to God than Jesus. There's the Trinity, there's God the Father, there's the Holy Spirit. But if you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. Grace and truth. See the light, I guess. And what John's doing in these first few paragraphs is holding two remarkable extremes together. So on the one hand, he's saying to those Docetists, those that would say, yeah, okay, if Jesus is God, then fine, but he must have just seemed like a man. He's saying, no, the Word became flesh. God is with us. God is one of us. God represents us. If we're going to be saved, then God needs to be one of us, a person like us. And on the other hand, he's saying, this Jesus that you crucified, this Jesus that we saw come alive again, he's the cosmic Christ. He's always existed. Before Jesus was born, the Son was there. Get your head around that. The person Jesus didn't exist until he popped out of Mary. But before that, the pre-existent Son has always been and was there at the beginning of the world. The cosmic Christ. Infinite. Beyond our imagination. Concentrated and put into a little baby. So John is telling you what's coming in his gospel. He's holding these two extremes and saying, we've got this man, and yet this man is the creator of the world. And if you stop and pause and stand back, you can see other things that John is doing. John is writing beautifully to make a point. If I say the first three words of John's gospel, in the beginning, what other book of the Bible does it make you think of? And that's what Jewish hearers would have understood, because the way that Judaism names the book of the Bible is by the first words of the book. Yeah? So if you turn to, I can't remember the Hebrew name, I wonder if it's in here. Might be. This is a study Bible. I'll have to tell you in an email. Can't remember. But the book of Genesis is called In the Beginning. That's what it's called in Hebrew. It's called In the Beginning. Yeah. So when Hebrew people would have heard John's gospel, the first words they would have heard would have been, in the beginning. Can you see the links they would have made? So this is the climax of that long story. It began with Genesis, and the climax is with Christ. This is the Creator God acting in a new way within his creation. If you like, Jesus is coming to make a new creation. We hear those words in the New Testament, don't we? That's actually what's happening. The creator of everything there is, seen and unseen, the person who upholds our very existence, has given us a way to enter into a new creation. God is creating today. He didn't stop however many years ago that you want to think he created. This is the climax. The arrival of God with us. And there's more going on here as well, because to be fair to Jewish society at the time, they were a monotheist, they are a monotheistic religion. There is one God, there is only one God. So how can this person be God if there's only one God? God's clearly in heaven, and there's this bloke here. What's going on? I'm not going to believe that. You can understand the tension, the dilemma, can't you? Yeah? So how does John begin to present? Because John is Jewish. Don't forget, John is wrestling with this question himself. All the disciples were good Jewish boys trying to wrestle with the question. We have seen, we have touched somebody really special, and we kind of see that he's God somehow, but how is he God? Who is this person, Jesus? And that's what you see through the first 13 chapters of John. John wrestling with this question. I kind of know he's God, but how is he God? How can the person of Jesus come to be worshipped as God when we know there's one God? And we don't want to give up on that fact, otherwise we end up with lots of gods. Can you see the tension? It's a remarkable passage. And what John does, and some of you may know this, some of you, it might be a new thought, but within Jewish thinking, within the Old Testament, there was the concept of God's Word. God's Word. Words are curious things. When we say words, they're somehow part of us. You know, we kind of issue forth words, and they're kind of bits of us going out to other people, aren't they? We should be careful with them. My word is my bond. And yet, at the same time, when we let words go, they sort of have an independent life. They do stuff, you know. They create new situations. They remain in memories. Words we say to people, other people remember long after we've forgotten. It doesn't have to be spoken, it can be written. I've just remembered the first time Debbie told me she loved me. I'd been up to visit Sue for the first time, I think, up in Doncaster. To try and impress them, I'd taken a great big amplifier, guitar, put it up in their front room and played along to stuff. What can I say? I was immature. I ended up sharing a room with Debbie's brother, and the bed collapsed. So I slept with my head down all night. But I didn't want to make a complaint because obviously I was a guest in the house. And Matthew had worn this Spurs shirt for about 2 weeks, I think. Anyway, that's the context. And it was close to Christmas. I didn't know how to get back to the M1, so these guys took me along the M18 and then said goodbye to me, and I drove down the M1. And I found in my pocket on the way home a little piece of paper saying, "I love you," with a little heart around it. You're spoiling the rhetorical impact here, Jay. Yeah, it was my jacket. Words have impact. Yeah. So I guess the point I'm trying to make is that, you know, John was trying to understand who is Jesus in the context of there is only one God, and yet I know this Jesus is God. So how can I worship Jesus as God with integrity as a Jewish person? And there's this concept within Jewish thought of words, the word of God, as somehow part of God, and yet somehow with an independent activity. Can you see that? Part of God, not separate from God, but... So God's word is seen as God in God's self, but somehow with a distinct identity. That's already present in Jewish thought before Jesus came along. Yeah. And words have an independent life and create memories like "I love you" and lots of other things. Hard words sometimes, you know, things we say that aren't good can create things that, you know, we have to be careful to correct those if we need to. That's why forgiveness is so important. And in the Old Testament, we kind of hear the language that Jewish authors, inspired by God, wrote about how God acts. God acts by his word, thinking once again to Genesis, you know, and the Genesis is such a central book to Christianity and to Judaism. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of humans. Can you hear? In the beginning, light, let there be light, the light of men. Nothing was made that has been made without the Word of God. what John is trying to tell us, that somehow mysteriously, in some ways beyond our comprehension, the Word of God, Jesus, has always been and was somehow the cosmic Christ, the pre-existent Son, has pre-existed existence and brought existence into being along with the rest of the Trinity. So in other words, Jesus can be worshipped as God with integrity in a monotheistic faith by a good Jewish person. And so we continue to live this tension today. We are a monotheistic faith, but we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that we worship. It's because there's one God. The Word, somehow part of the Godhead, but with a distinct identity. In Isaiah 55, we hear more about God's Word. If you want to know echoes of Christ, really, who's Christ like? Well, Christ is like God, and if Christ is God's Word, then what's God's Word like? 55, verse 10. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you. All the trees of the field will clap their hands. You see the picture of creation and God emanating God's self into creation. There's only one will. Jesus doesn't have a different will to the Father. There is only one will of God. Most Christians would say that. I won't confuse you with dithylatism. It's a different conversation. So God's Word brings life and healing and hope. Jesus brings life and healing and hope to the whole of creation. The way God acts. Eternity. God's words are eternal. Isaiah 40 says that people and plants will wither and die, but God's word will last for eternity. We're mortal. We won't last forever unless God bequeaths eternity to us somehow. So what John's trying to do is to tell us who Jesus really is. Jesus is the way God acts. Jesus is who God is. If you want to know what God's like, look at Jesus. No one else has seen God. Jesus reveals him to us. There's something eternal about Christ. There's something about bringing hope, bringing life. Jesus is identical to the Word of God. He's there at the very start. All things are made through him. He contains light and life. Christ challenged the darkness at the beginning of all time, and he's challenging the darkness today, bringing to being a new creation. That's who Jesus is. What do you think of Christ? It's tricky, isn't it? Do you talk to Christ when you're in the shower? As you walk down the road? I guess you can do. I do sometimes. Jesus always agree with you. Just remember, is the light of all people. Nobody would exist without Christ. So there's something special about every human being. And this passage goes on to talk about particular people called in a particular way, and we'll come on to that another time. But what this makes very clear is that Christ is the light of all the world. Nothing would exist without him. So there is something special and significant about every human being. Regardless of faith, actually. Regardless of faith. Let's not turn people that aren't Christians into others somehow. They are fellow human beings created by Christ. Beautiful, created out of love. So, how do they reflect Christ to us? What can I see of Jesus in them? Think of Christ.